All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2785. That's 2785, okay? Tonight we do have a special guest on. Her name is Dr. Lori Pitts. She's from Los Angeles, California. But before we actually get to her, my co-host tonight is John, and we all love John. We love you, John. Yes, we
Thank
do.
Thank you. I love you, too.
I know you do. You have such good taste. But anyway, okay. We clown around a lot on the show, although the subject matter, of course, is nothing to clown about. But let me speak a little bit about NASCA, okay? We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse. And that's trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two different ways. One is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to the adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. We speak about all of these, you know, the prevention, the intervention, and recovery. I tend to zero in on the prevention. I think that if we knew more, if society knew more, if our neighborhoods were more alerted and made more aware, you know, of the signs to look for with child abuse, I think that would help put a dent in the statistics of child abuse. I honestly believe that. And then, of course, we have to have people who care, don't we? And, you know, it wasn't too long ago a guy down the street said to me, well, I'm sorry about child abuse, but if that's going to happen to my kid, well, you just never know, do you? No, you don't. But the best thing that we can do as parents is absolutely to teach our children about child abuse and what to look for, you know, the signs of child abuse, and then also, too, what children should do and what they shouldn't do if they feel like they're, you know, something's coming towards them, how to protect themselves and so forth, and that you'll always have a listening ear and you will always believe them. On our website, that's NASCA, NASCA.org, that's NASCA.org, we have many, many articles. It starts from the left, it works all the way over to the right, of information. And prevention and intervention is one of them. And in these articles that we have, that we've gotten over the years, many times from experts, many times from organizations, many times, you know, from the government, whatever, CDC, all different kinds. We work with all of them. But we've been given a lot of information. So I suggest that anyone who's listening, if you want to learn more about child abuse and maybe even take part in helping to fight the fight, open up those articles there. It's like a menu that drops down, and it gives you a tremendous amount of information. And then you, too, can become some kid's hero. I like to say that because that's what we are. We wish we had one. Now, tonight, getting back to our guest, we have Dr. Lori Pitts from Los Angeles, California. And her first abuser was her uncle, who was also her godfather. This relationship greatly impacted her relationship with the divine, with God. Lori was sexually violated 3 times throughout her life, with the first assault starting at the tender age of 5. Oh, boy. Mom was 6. Yours was 5. Terrible. She was gang raped and all kinds of things. Now, I'm not going to continue on because I don't want to read her bio. I just wanted to give you a little bit of information about our guest. So it's just the three of us so far, right now. And that's okay. I'm going to give out the number. It's 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Now, if you want to call in and just listen, that's fine. Or, on the other hand, if you want to be a part of the panel, or we can make a panel, all right, that would be fantastic. And but in the meantime, I do want Dr. Shek, can I call you Lori? Is that all right?
Yes, absolutely.
That is your name, right?
Yes.
Lori, there you go.
Yes, that's fine. Can you hear me?
That's your name. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have a 719 area code number here. And before you start your story, let me get them one. 719, who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Cindy.
Cindy? Okay, cool. All right. This is Cindy, and Cindy's called in a couple times before that I know of, and I'm glad you're here tonight. She has quite a story to tell, okay? Cindy, where are you
Great.
From?
Great, Cindy, where are you from? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask, too, is this going to be like an interactive show, or are we kind of more here as like audience listening tonight?
Well, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have our guests, our special guests come on, and they tell their story.
Uh-huh.
And certainly, we do go to the panel, and the panel has a chance to ask, Dr. Lori Pitts questions, all right, if they have any, okay, or make a comment, if they want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So let's support her here. This is quite a story she has to say. And unfortunately, too many of us know a lot about child abuse. And she's got a good ending here because I read her bio. So why don't you start by telling us about the first time you were abused, okay? And we'll work from there.
Sure. So first of all, I just want to say thank you guys for having me on tonight. I really, really love and respect the work that you all are doing here at NASCA. So thank you so much for allowing me to come on tonight and extending the invitation. I also wanted to just kind of piggyback before I go into my story, if it's okay, because I know, that there are parents and caregivers and grandparents that are listening on tonight, and you kind of shared some things that we can do, as supporters when someone comes to us, be it our children or someone else that lets us know that they have been assaulted. And one of the other things that I have added to that list in talking to my own children is not only will I believe you, not only are you safe, but I'm going to take action. In my own story, that was the energy of feeling like nothing would be done was a big key factor in me sharing and disclosing the abuse. So I think that children, ahead of time, and of course, God forbid anything should ever happen, but should something happen, if they know that they're going to be abused and they know that something is going to be done, I believe that kind of creates and kind of rounds out that support system for those children. So I just kind of wanted to add that before going in and sharing my story. So I hope that was okay to do that.
No, that's fine. This is your show.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And,
So my story, like you stated, started when I was very young. Like you said in my bio, the very first assault took place with my godfather at the time. And, you know, of course that was extremely challenging, you know, to navigate through, you know, because here was someone that I have been told, you know, I'm supposed to trust, that I'm supposed to look up to and, you know, really lean on and depend upon, you know, especially in the African-American community. To be a godparent is a pretty big thing. It's actually an honor, and it's not something that in our community that we really take lightly. So to hold that space was a big deal. And one of the reasons why it is such a big deal is because we're also taught that our earthly father or godfather is in somewhat the physical human manifestation of the relationship that we should have with God. And so as you can imagine, you know, as you kind of mentioned in the bio, with that relationship being tarnished by sexual abuse, it greatly, greatly affected my ability to be able to connect with the divine. And I found it very, very challenging early on, which is very interesting because I also come from very religious households. You know, my father growing up was a Baptist preacher. And so me having that disconnect, that spiritual disconnect as a result of the assault, you know, it left me feeling even more of an outsider, even in my own home, because I'm watching everyone kind of have this connection, this spiritual connection that I myself wasn't having. So early on, the abuse lasted for quite a while. Ultimately, I was able to, once I kind of felt safe, I guess you could say, and was no longer in that situation, then I was able to disclose to a friend at school that the abuse was taking place. And unbeknownst to me, of course, I'm a kid, I had no knowledge of what a social worker was or anything like that. And so unbeknownst to me, his mom was actually a social worker, and he had gone home and he told his mom what I disclosed to him. And so that was how the legal part of my story kind of unfolded in her stepping in and making that report, which to this day I'm so grateful to her for. And I'm actually really proud to say that I'm still really good friends with the young man, now a young man that I initially disclosed that abuse to. In fact, I just spoke with him just moments before jumping on with you all this evening. So that just kind of started that legal ball rolling. Of course, I had to, you know, go to court. I had to testify. I, you know, unfortunately had to even undergo a physical examination to, you know, kind of physically prove that the abuse had taken place, which was, of course, as you can imagine, you know, being a young adolescent was just, oh my gosh, even further, further traumatizing. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, really stands out for me in that situation, that at least that part of my story, is the fact that my mom wasn't there. And, you know, I was very grateful, of course, to my dad for stepping in and really taking charge over the situation and really being one of the first people to help me to understand that healing was possible and that, you know, it was okay to use my voice and to stand up for myself in the legal system. And even though I'm grateful, just eternally grateful to this day for him standing in that space for me, as a young girl, again, as an adolescent, not having mommy there was very challenging. Now, I wanted to bring this up, of course, not to, like, you know, bash my mom or anything like that, because it's so far from that, it's not even funny. I wanted to bring this up for whomever might be dealing with something similar. You know, my mom had her own trauma. My mom had been sexually violated, and when my abuse came out, she shared that with me. And because she had not yet dealt with her own pain and her own abuse, she just simply was not able to be there for me. And I think that is really important for, you know, listeners to know. One, to know the aftermath, you know, and kind of the effects that it had on me, but also to, you know, kind of give themselves maybe some insight as to the importance as a parent to make sure that you hold space for your child in that way. So like I said, I was very grateful that my dad was there and was able to, you know, hold my hand literally through it all. But my mom wasn't there, and it caused me to be very angry with her for a very long time. And just in full transparency, it probably wasn't, I didn't really complete that healing until after she transitioned in 2019. Once she passed away.
No, let's stop you. Let's stop you there for a second, okay? John, do you have something that you wanted to ask her or make a comment about so far?
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Lord, I just can't tell you enough how sorry I am to hear that you went through that at such a young age, okay? And I'm
Thank
very
you
grateful
so
that you called in tonight. And let me tell you something. When you have this kind of trauma so early in life in your family like you did, you know, I did have a question real quick. Was this the brother to your dad?
No, so this was actually on my mom's side. This was on my mom's side of the family.
Oh, wow.
So this was actually,
you know,
my mom's sister's husband, or now ex-husband.
Okay. And, you know, whenever you have somebody in your family like that that's supposed to be so trusting, I mean, to me, a godfather, and this is the way I know, is that, you know, he had to be at your baptism. Is that correct? I mean, was that the way y'all do it there? Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
You know, so do you imagine that he is sitting there, he's right by you as a baby, you know, and he's going to do this stuff to you? That is unbelievable. But I tell you what, I have so much love for your dad, number one. And number two, when you went to him and he brought out your story, okay, and disclosed everything, that guy right there is that he is a warrior, okay? And if he's listening right
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to tell you what, my man, I'm so proud of you, because that's what it takes, you know? It takes somebody to stand up these days. And knowing what you went through, I can't wait to hear the rest of your story, because I'm already just dumbfounded by the age so early, you know, along with Carol. She was 6, you know? I was 9, you know, so we were all kids no matter what. And I can't wait to hear what's going on with your mom, too, because I have a feeling that I'm going to just love that part of it, which I haven't heard yet. But I want to tell you that you're calling in tonight, you are helping so many people out. You know that? You're changing lives by telling your story.
That's my hope and prayer.
And when you came on and you decided to tell – you know, your little, you know, pre-sentence, so to speak, on what we're talking about tonight, and you giving some people some heads up about, you know, the situation, is, to me, above and beyond than a lot of people that we talk to here. I think Carol can agree with that, because you're putting out a message from the beginning. And when they listen to your story, okay, and they put that together, they're going to know exactly what you're all about. And this is why you're here. And we want to thank you, Adnaska, for being here, because it means so much to us, okay?
It really
thank
does,
you so
yeah.
much. I really appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
You know, too, Lori.
Yeah, go ahead. Carol.
Lori. Yeah. I remember what it was like in the courtroom, okay? And I remember the fear.
As do I. That's what we all have in common.
Yeah, the three
right
of us then, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's actually traumatic in itself, because then you have to see that monster again. I always call them monsters, right?
Yes.
Even to this day, they're monsters. So you know, it's not an easy thing for a child to have to go in to testify, or even like I was one of 14. This guy was hanging by the schoolyard. Okay, so I was one of 14, and quite frankly, I was one of his prey, and I was the last one of his prey, and he took me the furthest away. And we all had to go to court that day. And none of us, not one of us, wanted to go. Because even if you have your parents with you, I had my mother and my stepfather, and I think my silly brother was there, too. I have a reason for calling on that. But anyway, the point is, even though family was there, you're still alone because you have to do what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? And and you have to be a part of it. And I will say this, the only thing that gave me some hope out of this whole thing of that courtroom, it was packed with people. Okay, packed.
Wow.
I lived in New York, okay? I lived in Staten Island. And the people were so mad because there was 14 of them that they packed like sardines inside that, that courtroom. Now, let me ask you something.
Wow.
What happened? How much time did your uncle, did he go to jail? What happened to him?
Yes, he absolutely went to jail. He served,
awesome.
I believe he served a total of 20 years. So he served the first, I believe it was 19 years. And then when he was released, I'm going to say somewhere around 2006, somewhere between 2006, 2008, he was released. And it was very interesting to learn from his probation officer that he had been like very obsessed with me when I discovered. So because he was family, obviously, when he was released, one of the first things that he did was he reached out to family. And so my family has a family business, and so and it's been in the same location for the past 40 years. And so he knew to kind of start there. And so the way that the story was told to me was that he kind of reached out to the family at the office and immediately just kind of started asking questions about me. And so once my family members made me aware of that, well, of course, you know, I reached out to his probation officer, and he was then rearrested. And it's to my understanding that he served another violating his parole. So,
thank God.
So, yeah, so that experience, you know, that experience was, you know, at the time I was kind of angry because I, you know, in speaking on that piece concerning my mom, you know, when I was a child, she wasn't able to be there emotionally for me. And so when this, you know, situation occurred again, once, you know, he was out almost 20 years later, I went to my mom and I'm like, hey, you know, he's reaching out, you know, he's, you know, trying to contact me again. And I was really in that moment, I was looking, hoping, expecting, praying that my mom would in some way kind of, I guess, like redeem herself, you know, I guess for what she wasn't equipped to do when I was a child. Well, she's unbeknownst to me, she still had not really dealt with her own stuff, with her own pain.
Right.
And so once again, she was unable to be there, and she basically told me, you were a kid when that happened before, and you didn't have a voice. You couldn't, you know, really do anything for yourself, but you're an adult now, and you can handle it. And she sent me off by myself to go and handle it. And so, you know, in that, I was so angry with her. I recall being so mad at her and just like, wow, mom, you really dropped the ball again. But it's something that is really, really magical that happens when someone transitions. All of the things that you didn't understand, all of the things that maybe you were angry with them about, they just seem to, it's like mental downloads that just kind of come at you, and you begin to see things very, very clearly. And I began to understand that she couldn't be there. But in that moment, she was offering me a really wonderful gift of being able to finally shed that victim energy and really being able to step full force into survival energy. And that I will forever be grateful to her for. I'm not even sure she was fully cognizant of the magnitude of what she was doing in that moment, But that is what it did for me. Her kind of sending me out on my own to handle this now as an adult woman, it empowered me. And you know, once I was able to get through that anger piece of it, it really empowered me and helped me to really understand you're not this weak and broken, you know, feeble little girl. You are strong, you are resilient, and you are powerful. And this was something you could handle.
It's just like breaking through into a whole new world, isn't it? You know, it's a magical place. It's a place of love. It's a place of people that are waiting on you, that you're not going to realize how your life is going to change once that happens. And I see this in this, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, I've been able to stand up for myself in that same way ever since. Ever since having that awareness, that's the way that I show up for life now. And that feels 10 times better than what was going on within me before.
So real quick, I wanted to ask you a question. Do you mean to tell me that this, your uncle guy, that, you know, he told the probation officer that he was obsessed with you? Is that what he told him?
Well, I don't want to say
okay,
that,
well, you don't
he
have
himself
to.
Used those words, but... But that was the way that she related to me. She said, in fact, when I called her and I'll never forget this, her exact words were, "I'm not surprised that you're calling me." And I'm like, why? And she says, in all of his assessment meetings, he never stopped talking about you. It's as though
And you need to tell me after all of that, and after all of that, he's still going to try. You know?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
really,
and I'm not sure if his efforts in reaching out was in some way to, you know, try and attempt some atonement or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the
higher part of myself, you know, kind of wants to think that was maybe what the energy that was behind his motivation, his effort.
No,
negative. But I don't
negative.
By that point,
negative
it's like I'm a mom myself, you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just needed to protect my children. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you, girl.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, she's tough, you know. And in a sense, her mother helped to form that, you know, because of her own inadequacies. And and did your mother ever face what happened to her? Did she ever get help for it or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, you know, if I can just be blunt, this is one of my frustrations with the African American community when it comes to this touchy topic, is that, you know, it really is one of those hush topics. You just don't talk about it. You know, you pray about it. You maybe talk to your pastor about it, you know, or an evangelist or something. But to actually get help is, this is new for us, and it's annoying because
exactly.
I feel like we're so far behind the ball, you know, of healing.
Yep, exactly. That's what NASCA does, okay? That's what NASCA's here for. And I want your mom to know that. You know, if she needs us or needs me or Carol or Penelope, anybody, we're going to be here no matter what. You know, at some point, she's got to release that energy, you know?
Well, unfortunately, she fully released it now. Unfortunately, Mom did transition in 2019. So, like I said, I don't know if before she left this side, if she was able to address that, but I do trust that she is fully at peace.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if she is, she is, you know. I mean, sometimes there are people that go through life, all right, and they don't get help. And I believe that everyone needs to get help because they have issues. Everyone has issues, right? And why walk around, you know, like feeling bad or, you know, having, like, I used to have horrific panic attacks. It wasn't just, it was panic disorder. I'm going to call it panic disorder because it did rule my life. And that's when it goes from panic attacks to panic disorder, okay? So, it was horrific, and, you know, I just want to get this in here. I'm so happy that your uncle got as much time as he did, because for the 14
yes.
little girls
yes.
that I'm speaking about.
I am too.
About,
I am too, Carol.
Yes.
Yes.
Check it out. Check it out, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that, it was a year and a half. That's all he did.
Wow. Wow.
He was sentenced to
it's
3 years.
Unbelievable.
I know. And 3 years was ridiculous. And the courtroom.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say one thing about this courtroom, man. I was so proud of them, even as a little girl, all right? They stood up and they yelled, he should get life. There's 14 of them. He should
wow.
get life. And now, the system works weird. We know this. And his
mm-hmm.
wife was, you know, addressing the court and pleading poverty. So instead of doing the 3 years, okay, he did 1.5. He did half time, even of the lousy 3 years. Well,
mm.
so when you're a child
unbelievable.
And you're thinking to yourself, well, okay, I'm this age, and in 3 more years I'm going to be that age, holy Christopher, he knows where I live. And all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when my panic began. And that's why I'm asking, like, with your mother, all right, she never got help, but she seems to have worked through it. I don't know, maybe it took many
mm-hmm.
years. And with yourself, did you ever get help with what happened with you?
Yes, I did. So,
that's
so
good.
Unfortunately,
go ahead.
There were two other assaults that took place after that. But I definitely had to get help because once I started having my children, I was able to see very clearly the different areas where the assault was kind of rearing its ugly head, so to speak, you know, with
mm-hmm.
the first and very clear indication being the enormous amount of fear. You know, it's really an interesting to try and parent from, you know, to try and parent from a space of fear. I was just speaking on one of my lives yesterday and explaining how my children were afraid of grass. You know, they're little girls and they're like scared of grass. Well, that was my own energy that I was then projecting onto them to be fearful. And so that was like the first, like really, like I remember it like it was yesterday, very defining moment for me that it's like, okay, Lori, it's time to get you some help. It's time to do something about it. So I did. I started in therapy and going to rigorous therapy. It started with twice a week, and then I kind of titrated down to once a week and was in therapy for quite a while. And I was one of those ones that, you know, it wasn't just something that I was just doing. Like, I was very serious and very active in my healing. I was reading every single book that she recommended. And I had an amazing therapist, by the way, Susan Little. I will forever
you.
Just adore her.
That's exactly
oh, yeah,
what I wanted
amazing.
To ask you real quick was that
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
important is that? How important is that, Doc? Come on. Now, you know, Ooh. You know that therapist has to be that one for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
And it sounds like it was.
It really was. It was a very, very good fit. You know, in fact, the only component that was missing from that experience, which I of course didn't realize until much later on, was that she was a Caucasian woman. And, you know, I'm sure you guys can kind of identify with this, that at certain points in your healing process, it is a benefit to have someone that kind of understands you, you know, where they
yep.
understand the way that you speak. They understand your story.
Yep.
And,
exactly.
you know, so if I could give any kind of critique or wish anything to have been different, it would have just been that she would have been an African-American woman. But when I tell you she was absolutely phenomenal, she really held space very well for me. She made me feel safe, and she tapped into who I was as a person, and she understood that kind of nerdy side of me, if I can say it that way. And so she was great at offering wonderful books and resources to help me in between those sessions, you know, to kind
yep.
of help
and,
me do
and
the
Dr.
work
Lori,
on my own.
You know what that is? You know what that is? That
mm.
it's called empathy. You know,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sympathy, mm-hmm. you know, in this business does not exist to me anymore. You know, it's empathetic right there. It sounds to me like she really fully understood you and you were willing you know, to tell her and explain your life, and she accepted that, and that was such an important part of you know, coming out and starting that healing process. It really is. I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely. In fact, she was one of the reasons why I chose to go into the mental health field, you know, because in having that experience with her and knowing the way that I felt being on the other side of the couch, I wanted to then be able to do that for other people. And so I was able to move forward in my education and was able to hold the same, you know, similar space for many others.
Yeah, so, you know, that's exactly it. For everyone that's listening out there, is that that is the perfect example of what we're all going through and went through, along with Carol, along with me, and Bill, Penelope, every one of us, you know. That's what it's all about,
yeah.
And that's what we do now. And I'm so proud of you for taking that road. I really am, because not everybody can do that, you know, to actually
thank
go
you.
Further from getting past that. So, yeah, thank you so much. That really is
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Well, I had a professor in undergrad. He stated something to the entire class that just never left me. And it was basically that you have come into this profession really because you're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to heal some part of yourself. And boy, oh boy, when he said that, it just resonated with my entire soul. And I was like, wow, he really just like put words to what I think I intuitively knew, you know, that's why I was there, trying to figure out some stuff, you know. And
I have to
it was
stop
definitely
you there.
The best decision.
I have to stop you there
mm-hmm.
because I'm laughing, not at you, but I did the same thing. I wasn't a psychiatrist. I was a state certified technician, okay? So I worked with the psychiatrist and the court system as well, and probation even, some of them
mm-hmm.
on probation. But we had murderers also there that we worked with. So, you know, we had our own police force, for God's sake. So I worked with all of that. But the point is this, every time, you know, they would send me to different buildings, wherever they needed me, they sent me because I had a lot of experience already working with people before I worked at Greystone
mm-hmm.
Psychiatric. That's a state hospital. But I kept looking at people, and at times I would see myself. I would see myself.
Mm.
Oh, whoa. I don't like that. Oh no!
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it was like
you know, and
a lot
of times
factor.
Too, right, Carol? And a lot of times, and I just want to like just really throw this at you real quick is that when you see that, like you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know that there's other ways to do this job because you have been through it, right? And then you see that side.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
now I got the best of both worlds. Okay, now it's time for me.
Yeah.
to really specialize in this area and proceed what they never really understood. Maybe they did a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't go through it, right? They weren't survivors and they weren't victims. But, you know, there it is. That's a perfect, perfect example of getting, you know, with that type of situation and growing out of it and becoming a leader. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
You know,
well,
John,
I worked primarily
Let me say something here,
sorry,
too.
Go ahead.
John, I have to tell you something, and the doctor's going to agree with this, too. When we're
uh-huh.
looking over the patients, when we're looking them over, okay, because we have to do
right.
that,
uh-huh.
you know, a lot of times the patients walk with their heads down, just like we speak about on the show. They don't make eye
yeah.
contact. Others have right. are suffering from DID. You know, they dissociate all the time. And
mm-hmm.
and you know, because I had, of course, working with everyone, I had privy to the, you know, the records. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them had come from horribly abusive backgrounds. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they didn't, now maybe your family was fine. I mean, your mother and father and so forth. But there were a lot of those where they didn't have good parenting. They didn't have good parents. Some had no
mm-hmm.
parents, you know. And they yeah. were terribly sexually abused or they were beaten or whatever throughout their life. And so, you know, we had a lot of schizophrenics. We had bipolar. We had borderline personality disorder, which of course is the worst, I think. We had it all. And, you know, we could look at them, and I wasn't the only one that did this. I think people tend to, when I say this, I'm going to shut up because you have to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I think people, I think people many times tend to get into, you know, the social service field or in the hospital field who have been abused. It's something that draws us. I agree with that. Now let's let her tell her story.
Yes, I wanted to tell a story, but right before she starts, I want to ask her one little quick question because this is the part where I really need to know about. How is your dad dealing with everything? How does he, you know, take his life now, being a preacher at that? You know, how has it affected his life?
Well,
and then tell your story.
Sure. So what's interesting is that Dad has now stepped away from the pulpit, and now Dad is he's actually pursuing a master's degree currently in psychology.
Oh wow!
What?
That's
pretty good.
The healing just keeps going.
Wow.
So yeah.
You think he might have learned
something from
you? Do you think he might have learned something from
you? Oh, I like to think so. You know, I tell people all the time that if you're a good parent, you're only a good parent because you realize you can learn from your children. So, he is currently actively pursuing a master's degree in psychology, in spiritual psychology, to be specific.
Okay.
And I couldn't be more proud of him for that, for figuring out a way to kind of marry the two of those for himself.
I want you to tell him that I specifically gave him a shout out tonight because I had a feeling that's where this was going.
There you go.
Okay. And you tell him I love that guy and I love him to the end of the earth for what he did for you. All right.
Oh yeah. My dad, he's an amazing man. He truly, truly is. So let's see. So somewhere around high school, was gang raped in high school by a few of my classmates. And I want to say that the greatest thing that I learned from that experience, because I'm one of those ones that And I know that this is not the perspective of everyone, and I get that everyone's healing journey is their own, but this is mine. I'm one of those people that I don't believe that anything has ever happened to me. I believe that everything happens for me. And so from that perspective, that's the way that I live my life. And so I'm always looking for the lesson in whatever happens, you know, good or presumably bad. And so for me, I've really taken the time and put forth the mental energy to really look at what have I learned from each of these experiences. And I would have to say that from the second assault was I learned to feel my pain. Because in that situation, that one was not reported. And, you know, I felt like I just didn't have the emotional and maybe even mental bandwidth to really be able to handle that one or the subsequent one after that. I just didn't feel like I really had it. And, you know, I needed to just kind of take some time to allow myself to just feel it. You know, I had suppressed it for a very, very long time. And it wasn't until I actually ran into one of the accusers in the grocery store in my hometown. At this point, of course, we're both adults at this point. He's with his son, I'm with my daughter. And we just kind of really randomly, but divinely, crossed paths at the grocery store. And, you know, he approached me. And, of course, initially I was terrified, but he said, I'm sorry. He said I was young. He said I was stupid. I was influenced by the crowd. And he said that he wasn't specific, but he said that there was someone in his own life who had been assaulted in that way. And in him understanding her pain, he understood then the pain that he must have caused me in him being right. part of that.
And that's rare. That is rare.
That is very rare.
It really is.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. he really spoke to how he has really tried to change his own life, and he just apologized profusely and just said how sorry he was, and just said that he had no idea of what the magnitude of what he was doing. And, you know, that was really powerful for me, because I was able to, literally on the spot, I was able to let that go, and I was able to forgive him and finally feel the hurt of it.
Uh-huh.
Because, as right. we all know, you can't heal what you don't feel, right?
I was going to ask you about your feelings that way, because, you know, you're looking at a situation where, because a lot of laws are changing now, the statute of limitations,
mm-hmm.
is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, were you maybe thinking about, you know, pursuing justice on them, or did you? You know, we haven't gotten
no.
to that yet.
No, I never did, and to be honest with you, I didn't feel
this.
That
do,
it was
do
something
want
that
to?
I...
Do you
and
want
let,
to?
Let her finish
no.
her sentence, honey.
Okay.
No,
okay,
I...
Okay, let's get this
to.
A little straight. Doctor, let's get this straight a little bit here, okay? That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what
mm-hmm.
people have to realize is we have to live our lives, you know, in our own way. Once we've gone through and are going through the healing journey, one step at a time, one
mm-hmm.
day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time. If a person
yes.
Doesn't feel like they're up to, you know, actually going through, some people would say, where's the justice? Okay, he did the act, he did the crime, so therefore he belonged in juvie. Well, I used to work there too, in juvie or even in prison, okay? Because many times kids go to
mm-hmm.
juvie, they end up in prison anyway, so because they don't get help. But anyway, the point is this, whatever makes you feel better, because you see, at the end of the day, John, we have to live with ourselves. And if she was
yeah,
wrestling with this, okay, if she was wrestling with it, well, maybe I should have, or maybe oh, I'm so mad, I want to punch that guy in the nose and all this other stuff, things that I used to do, all right, kick the wall, I used to be so mad, and I didn't forgive them, no way, because I figured they know what they were doing. That's my perspective, okay? So that's something different. But if she's
right.
not at peace with it, I'm not going to say peace, because I don't think anyone ever gets at peace with it. She realizes, he realized that he committed a crime. He's sorry for it. You know, if she's happy with that, okay, if she can accept that, I'm not going to say happy with it. If she can accept that, then
yeah.
so be it.
Yeah, it is. That's a part of
yeah.
her healing journey.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it very much is. And I'll
well,
tell
I'm
you
glad
what,
we got to talk
you
about
know,
that.
Oh yeah, I'll say that the men that were involved because of the wonderful world of social media, I would be lying if I said I haven't taken a look at their pages and their lives, and not to say that, you know, going to jail, you know, wouldn't bring justice, but I will say that when you have a spiritual covering. Trust me, they are being taken care of. They're not necessarily living glorious, wonderful lives. They are being held accountable for what they did. That I'm
okay.
very certain of. Yeah. So the last assault was again by another family member, and by this time I'm in my mid to late twenties. And I'm married. I have kids at this point. And this was another. It's so interesting, you know, how God will allow us to go through certain situations that involve our family, specifically our mothers, our children, our fathers. That are strategically designed, and I need for everyone to hear me when I say this, They are strategically designed for us to grow. They're strategically designed for us to understand ourselves, for us to understand this life process, for us to understand love, for us to understand forgiveness. This situation was one of those things that, again, had the ability to really tear my family apart. And for all intents and purposes, you know, my family really has never been the same since that particular assault was brought to light. You know, there was another opportunity there for my mom to respond in that warm, fuzzy, dare I say, Carol Brady kind of a manner. But that I had to release my mom from that.
I remember Carol Brady.
I love Carol Brady. But that I had to release my mom from that because that's just simply not who she was. And I had to make room to understand who she was as a person and remember that she wasn't just my mom. She was a woman. She was a woman with her own pain. She was a woman with her own trauma that, you know, was perhaps unhealed. And so because I had to take all of that in consideration in her response to me and my pain. So now here again, we have this violation that has taken place by another family member. And again, you know, her not really responding in that warm and fuzzy way, right? And again, me for a long time being very angry, not understanding, you know, but there was a lesson of forgiveness that was being taught there. And please hear, I'm not in any way like trying to justify things for my mom. I'm not trying to make excuses for my mom just because she has transitioned. These were awarenesses that were slowly coming to me even before her transitioning, you know, and came full circle once she had left this side. But I really just want to make sure that people understand she was not a bad mom. She was just simply an unhealed mom. And in her not being healed, there were just certain spaces that she couldn't occupy. But in her not being able to occupy those spaces, you know, because, again, that kind of cultural piece that kind of comes into play with African-American women specifically, not being very, like I said, they're just not like that warm, fuzzy. They're not going to really talk to you. There's not a whole lot of nurturing that's going on, especially with that baby boomer generation. There was that energy was more a we're just trying to survive energy. And so there really was no room. There was no space to try and nurture necessarily, you know, in the way that I maybe, you know, feel that I needed to be nurtured. And so, but even with all of that, with her being unhealed, with the cultural piece, with all of that, she was still blessing me through all of that. Because what she did was she created a space for me to then forgive now a second uncle, you know, to be able to acknowledge what he did, acknowledge the wrong that he did, and forgive. And that was huge. That was really, really huge because, as I'm sure you all can relate, that forgiveness piece is really big. And it is probably one of the more challenging pieces of the trauma to really tackle. And my mom just very, very brilliantly, and again, this I'm not even sure she was fully aware and cognizant of what she was doing, but she really beautifully walked me through that process of how to forgive, and I'm very grateful for that.
Let me ask you this. Let me stop you there, okay? I had two family mm-hmm. members also, and many people on the outside, unfortunately. But the point is this. If my brother came up to me today, okay, and said to me, sis, I'm so sorry for what I did to you starting at age 9 to 14. 14, he openly raped me, and from 9 he was up to that point, he was molesting me. And I told my mother, and she did nothing. And she said things like this happen in families. You see, you're talking like that also in a sense. Things like this happen in families. But it's not supposed to happen in families, Lori, okay? And I think that my mother actually enabled my brother because in his more of adult life, he just continued on his sweet, merry way. And he continued to abuse people, okay, children, and even people who weren't children, you know, sexually I'm speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, it's like it's a controversial thing. And I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
You say that your mother was helping you to forgive, you know, these people. Can you give me, can you tell me how she did that? How could she help
sure,
you to forgive? Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's pretty well known and very common, again, in the Black community that there's not a whole lot of talking. You know, children
right.
in our community, we typically learn through observation and in some cases solely through observation because in some homes there is no talking. But particularly when it comes to those very uncomfortable conversations, there's really not a whole lot of dialogue. You're just going to kind of learn through what you see. And so what I mean by her teaching me that forgiveness was, so this particular uncle, he was able to come around the family. You know, he was able to, you know, he never was able to really kind of like be very stable. And so my parents would often allow him to come to their home and maybe do some yard work or, you know, fix things around the house or whatever to earn a little bit of money. You know, my mom would feed him and things like that. And so in that moment, like, I couldn't understand it. I'm like, why is this being allowed? You know, why is this okay? But that was what I was learning, was that, yes, this shouldn't have happened. Yes, this is horrible that it did happen. And no, I'm not happy that it happened. Because, you know, later on I learned that there were some conversations that had taken place, you know, that I wasn't privy to. But we still forgive. We still forgive. And even when the worst thing happens, you can still handle it with some decorum, with some class, and with a lot of love. And I think that's what I learned from that situation, because, you know, you have enough, especially in the Black family, that tears the family down, and that mm-hmm. tears people apart, you know, and bring, you know, tears apart relationships. My mom was almost single-handedly kind of modeling for the rest of the family that. Mm-hmm. You can still love on the other side of this. You can still show love to the accuser on the other side of this. And
you can show love. Yeah, you can show love. But mm-hmm. let me ask you one thing: is the trust ever going to be there?
No, the trust was never never regained there. In fact, shortly prior to my mom's passing. He was, you know, estranged from the family, and really only has kind of resurfaced mm-hmm. within the last couple of months because of his own mm-hmm. illness. The trust is. I mean, he's not around me. Let me be abundantly
yeah.
clear. I have understood the beautiful art of being able to forgive, still show love. When I learned that he was ill, I definitely sent you know, well wishes to him.
That's
going
step
to be
to
as close as we can kind of get. Because again, I have to protect my own children.
That's right.
Yeah, and
that's another point right there, John.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very
mm-hmm.
good point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
I don't think I'm able to. Yeah. I don't think I'm sitting here thinking, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm taking it really in. And of course, everybody's different. Everyone's different. But I think I have more anger than you do. Okay. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
like if someone, you know, punches me in the nose, I'm going to punch them back. That's just the way I am, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And but that toughness is what kept me going throughout life, plus my belief, okay? And I have my faith also. And I met Billy Graham when I was 5 years old. And that man gave me a Bible, and I still have it to this day. And he said, "You're going to work with many, many people, but I don't know how or why." And he set me on his way.
Mm.
And, you know, but there's an anger,
Carol,
in me. What, darling? Yep. What'd you say?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was that this is her way. This is her healing.
Yeah.
You know, she's digging into the extreme when it comes to that part, because that part is so difficult to get to, if ever it gets to, you know.
Right.
So you have to look at that.
Right.
Is that she has been, you know, educated now, and this is what it's really about, isn't it? It's the same thing we're doing tonight. You know, we are out here educating everybody about every situation. And she took that hurdle, the main hurdle in my, you know, vision of everything that's happened here, you know, is that she had to go that route in order to, you know, kind of complete her, you know, her way of growing. Yeah.
She's a very peaceful woman. She's very peaceful. I like that.
Yeah.
She has
absolutely a
peacefulness about her.
She's got a beautiful heart.
Do you have a temper?
Yes.
I don't know if she does or not.
ask one of my three children if I have a temper. I would say that's a different subject, isn't it?
I think for all of us. Yeah. That's when we flip that switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you know, you're really touching on something really, really poignant there. You know, it really is about everyone else's, you know, individual journey and really adapting to whatever methods or perspectives that you need in order to be able to walk through the rest of your life, you know, and not just get through life, because that I did that, and that was no fun. I didn't want to just get through life. I didn't want to just be existing.
Right.
I really wanted to live. I wanted to thrive. I wanted to feel strong, because I didn't really know what that felt like. And so I knew that in order for me to achieve that, I had to take on a different perspective and look at this thing in a different way. Now, I do recognize that that is not necessarily the path of some people, but I will say that for me, and I'm just speaking for myself, it's far better than, you know, falling into depression, which I've been there. It's far better than falling into substance use, which I've worked primarily with that population when working in mental health. You know, so for me, this was my path. You know, it's kind of the way that you hear some people will – in fact, I was just talking to a client about this just today, where she was mentioning that for a period of time, she knew that she had been assaulted, but she was never able to see the face, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about how that brain functioning and how your brain will just, you know, naturally kind of the protection mechanism will kind of kick in, you know, and helping you to be able to get through life. And so what I'm describing now is really just my way that I have been able to get through life in order to stay out of that depression, because that depression was no joke.
No, I know. I know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think
isn't that so beautiful, though, that she has been through such a horrific, you know, childhood experience, going through high school and all of that, and now look at her, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, I will always, knowing you now, Dr. Lori, if somebody needs to come forward, you're the right person for that. You know, and this is what NASA is all about. This is what NASA is all about. We need you. You know, we need people exactly like you out here in this world to, you know that you're not alone ever, and that you have people out here that, that care deeply about you and love you, you know, and that's what it is. It's about the love. You said that, Doctor. I heard that come out your mouth. And that is very, very important in this business, is that there is a lot of love out here waiting, you know, for people when they're ready, you know. And that's what I just want to say to you, is that I heard that from you. That's so beautiful, you know. And I will always recommend that to you. You know, I can see that. I can see people calling you and reaching out to you. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Carol,
we
go through this
a
lot. You know, we late at night. And Carol, you
oh,
too.
God.
You know, you can explain that. You're up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and sometimes it happens, right? But when you have somebody that's been through what she's been through, and now she's a doctor, I mean, my God. And then her dad, oh, this is even better, you know. So this is just getting started.
Absolutely.
In my eyes, you know, and this is where that alchemy comes in. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I don't think I've ever known anyone.
It's magic.
Okay?
It's magic. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think that I've ever known anyone. I don't know if I totally agree with it, okay? I think that when people do, you know, commit crimes against children, that they should suffer for it. They should go to jail. That's what I think. Now, as far as forgiveness is concerned, I'm not going to say on air right now. I'm just not in the mood how many times I've been sexually abused in my life. It was horrific, okay? But I don't find forgiveness for those people. But now this is just me talking. Because I wanted them to, you know, to go to jail. Now, at least you have one. That's why I said earlier. Your uncle went to jail for, would you say, approximately 19 years. Well, he should have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yet what I faced in my life, there was nothing. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, a year and a half, are you crazy? I mean, we've got 14 kids, a year and a half. Well, he must have gotten paid off, all right? That's all I can think of. I'm serious. And, and you know, it's with the others, they, you know, they didn't have to answer for their crimes. They didn't have to. And it wasn't just against me, okay? So when I look at this thing in my light and also in the light of people who have been, you know, violated, crimes against children, I think to myself, the only way that we're going to put that dent in the statistics of child abuse is for that person who has committed these crimes to feel also. Because let me ask you something. You've had a lot of therapy, you said, and you love your therapist, and I'm very thankful for that, okay? But that's very, very important. But didn't you have feelings of, did you have feelings of sadness? Were you upset? Did you have feelings, I think I see in here, why me, or whatever, something close to that. You started to doubt yourself and all this other stuff. And self-doubts, like, what did you mean by that? Did you mean, like, am I like an open magnet? Am I doing something wrong? Were you starting to blame yourself for the amount of times that people, you know, were trying to offend you? What did you mean by that?
That's a very good question. Yes, and you're absolutely spot on there. I definitely started to very much doubt myself and immense feelings of sadness and not even just sadness, just outright depression, you know. And you know, remember that this was a period of time. This didn't happen overnight. You know, even this forgiveness piece did not happen overnight. This was definitely a very long process, you know, and one that, you know, and I'm sure you guys can agree with this, that it's one that I'm not fully removed from, you know, as you discover new things and, you know, uncover new pieces of the trauma, you know, you're healing all over again in some ways. So, definitely lots and lots of sadness, lots and lots of depression. But I think for me, I can sympathize and hear the hearts of those who say, you were strong, you are strong, but you should have had to be strong. I would have to say that I chose to be strong for the simple fact that weak was not working for me. Weak was having me taking, you know, up to 8 pills a day, you know, and taking psychotropic medications. Weakness
right.
for me and sitting in that pain, you know, had me where I was not even able to appropriately take care of my children. I was, you know, unable to work, and it just
how long ago was
literally
that?
Taking over
how
my
long
life.
Was that?
I'm gonna
yeah.
This was probably about 15 years ago. This is about 15
okay.
years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it wasn't until I just really got serious about it that you know those feelings really started to dissipate.
Well, that's good. All right, now that's fine. Okay, I get it. Now I get it. I get it better. Because being, too, that I worked with psychiatrists and everything and so forth, of course I know about the psychotropic drugs and the blood levels and getting them checked all the time and watching the behavior and,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are inpatient, you know, because they need to have the drugs changed. You know, they needed medications that were different. Psychotropic drugs
mm-hmm.
are very heavy. And they were very strong on the mind. Yes. Now,
yes.
with you.
They are very, very
yes.
heavy. Mm-hmm.
Very heavy.
Yeah, I
and,
the advice of
I'm
doctors and my family, yeah, I literally
mm-hmm.
just stopped taking them because they just simply weren't helping me. Now, of course, I would not, you know, advocate for someone to do what I did because it is very dangerous to just abruptly
mm-hmm.
stop taking them. So I'm not in any way
yes.
advocating for anyone to take that approach, but I'm just being transparent and saying that's what I did, and for me, you know, it
yeah,
worked.
Thank you for that.
And I think, you know, yeah, yeah.
Well, you
it,
know
it
what,
worked
I
for
think
me.
John, I think that we've heard a lot from her now, and what I'm seeing
uh-huh.
here is that she has filled all those spaces that we're speaking about with her
yep.
you know, the abuses. Not only the things
absolutely.
That she's speaking about, and also the medications that she had to take, which does work on the mind, and all this emptiness that she felt, the loneliness, the emotional upset, and all the things that you go through when you,
yep.
you've been
mm-hmm.
abused. And she has filled it instead
that's true, Carol.
With
exactly.
forgiveness.
You know,
with
yeah,
forgiveness.
She is living through
yeah.
the process.
That's
what it is.
Lord,
you know?
That's
yep.
one heck of a thing to be able to do that. I'm going to tell you right now. That's very,
yeah.
She's replaced it. I want to use the word replaced
and
that because that's what she's done.
Easy.
No.
Some people think that they can get it done overnight. In one day, it's not that,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's really about educating yourself and understanding from both sides, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have
absolutely.
A clear mind on what you're going to do and what your goals are going to be, you know. And you have to set those goals and wake up every morning with your head, you know, held up high and knowing that you're making a difference every single day in your life for, you know, humanity. Because now, you know, this is
mm-hmm.
worldwide that the people listening to tonight. And they need to understand, you know, how deep this really is and where you are in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is impressive. It really, really is. You know, so
I think I began to love you so much for what you did. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I think I just kind of got to the understanding that the alternative was far worse, you know, than actually
mm-hmm.
dealing with it. You know, the
mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to hold that space of being a mom. And so the knowing that I was missing out on it and that I was allowing
yeah.
my accuser to make me miss
mm-hmm.
out on the experience of being a mom because of the
right.
insane amount of depression, I can say that it kind of pissed me off. It kind of pissed me off that I was like
yeah.
allowing them to rob me of that experience. And so that was that pivotal moment where I'm like, okay, I want to really take a serious dive into being able to heal. And
yep.
now that's the space that I hold for people every day with Still Whole Wellness. So that's my goal and my prayer.
That this particular story tonight has been extensive. It's been deep. It's been emotional. You know, it's been true. And the education that comes out of this is expansive. I mean, it really is, you know. And I'm going to leave, you know, because we only have 15 minutes left. And I'm you know, that's going to be you. And this is your night. But I want to tell you that this has been a beautiful, absolutely beautiful podcast. And I really thank you for coming on tonight. I really do. Because you're helping so many people by telling your story, okay?
Well, I appreciate
really
hearing
is.
That. I, you know, yeah,
you know, it's
that,
a lot
that's
better.
Always my hope and prayer.
I'm just so I'm filled with admiration for you too. You bet, because it's so much better to be able to forgive. I mean, it like you said, you mentioned it yourself. It's not an overnight process, okay? So you know, but because if you don't forgive, you walk around so often. With all kinds of anger and rage and resentment and feelings of frustration, and if you were working through the system and the system didn't work, you know, in the favor of it where it should have, you know, then you have that anger issue also. We can't be so filled with anger that we can't move forward, okay?
Yeah.
Because
if
we're also filled with anger, then we can't move forward.
That's so perfect, Carol. Thank you so much for saying that. Mm-hmm. And that is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
So huge, Carol. You just hit that right on the head. You really did. And
really,
same with
you really
guys.
Did.
I mean, y'all are really, really hitting this on the head tonight about bringing that up. And this is so important for us to move on and then to make sure that we're educated in every aspect of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So with you coming out tonight and telling your story, I'm going to tell you right now, this has been really, really deep. It's been so educational. So I hope everyone is listening deep to what she has to say, you know. And she's been through a lot. But on the other hand, we got family involved. We have situations involved. Mm-hmm. And how you deal with that along the way, she found forgiveness in the end, you know, and a lot of times that's what it takes, you know. So it's a long road though, very long road.
Yes,
I'm,
it is.
You know,
I'll be
same way.
Wait. Yeah, John,
okay.
Honey, there's more here. Okay, I do want to include this because this is something that she's done, Dr.
Yeah.
Lori. Most recently shared her story of the, oh boy, you're going to have to help me with this one, alchemy, how do you say that, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y?
Alchemy.
Okay.
Alchemy? Uh-huh.
During the invitation of the annual practice, tell us about that. Tell us about
I think you're referring to, are you referring to the Allen versus Pharaoh documentary?
I don't know.
Well,
you see, I had the bio in front of me. And it's some kind of practice where she was a keynote speaker for their Sunday service.
Yeah, you were a Sunday service speaker for Alchemy. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So so that was through the A New Practice. So that is a wonderful, wonderful platform that created the space for me to really start sharing my story and really started that process of me, you know, putting some voice to it, you know, which is something that we all have a challenge with being able to do. And that, I tell you, that definitely was like the starting point for me. Go ahead.
Let's focus on that word. Exactly what.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to hear a little bit more about it.
You know, because there are actually people out here called alchemists, okay? And she may just be one, you know? So tell us about that, because I know what it is. I know exactly what that is. But
no, I don't.
You know,
I need to learn.
Go right ahead. If not, I will.
Go ahead, please. Yeah.
I do consider myself somewhat of an alchemist. That is an energy that one can embody, where you literally have the ability to change energy, you know, to be able to shift that what I call that low vibrating energy, and being able to then shift it and turn it into something positive. And so, yes, yeah. I absolutely consider myself to be an alchemist.
That is awesome.
You know,
that is so awesome. You know what the main word is about alchemists is that it's magical. Okay, it's an experience of transition that happens within a situation. You know, and look at her story. It's there. It is absolutely there. No question about it.
Exactly.
And when you speak about that, people are like dumbfounded because they don't really understand what that is. But however, if you look at the full story, it's there. It is absolutely there. You know, and when people actually take charge of being an alchemist and explain what that is all about, then they realize it's like, you know what? It was extensive. It was magical. How did it happen? You know, that's what the questions lead from that, you know. But however, is that there's a point behind it, you know, and there's an action behind it. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, you are absolutely right when you say that. One thing that stands out for me is that scripture in the Bible that says that faith without works is dead. You know, and really making sure that, you know, you understand that you have to do something. This healing is not going to just, you know, come to you. You have to be active in the process, you know, in order to shift that energy. But I think it's first in the awareness that you can shift the energy. That's what makes it magical, at least from my perspective. And so,
absolutely.
Yes, I do. I consider myself very much to be an alchemist.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. I love that. Love it, absolutely.
Yeah, now I just learned something new about shifting energies and stuff. I mean, if you are a person that is filled with anger and hatred, I don't have hatred in me. I got over that, thank God. But I do have...
You have nowhere to go, Carol. You have nowhere to go.
I get pissed off, by God, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
Sometimes, you know. But it hasn't stopped me from healing because I know that those people, you know, have problems. They're problems. They're problematic. They need help. Are they ever going to change? I don't believe so because studies have shown that pedophiles just simply don't change. And it doesn't matter if you get them at the age of 15 because by the time they're 13 or 15 years old, they know they're different, but they don't want their peers to know this. So therefore, they go out with girls, you know, their own age and so forth, and they can even go and get married later on and all this. But their appetite, I'm going to use the word appetite, is for the young.
It is. Yeah.
Yes. And so those people, they don't change. And so I can look at it in a sense then that these people are so dysfunctional, so malfunctioned, and no meds are going to keep them, you know, in line, because it's like their minds are, you know, different. They're wired differently than we are, okay? And that's just the way that it is. So I do know that a large amount of people, very close to 70%, but not exactly 70%, the stats change at times, do not, you know, hurt children who have been abused themselves, okay? Now the stats are changing a little bit. But for the most part, let's put it that way, for the most part, they do not abuse children. It's a larger part that, you know, does not hurt children, okay? So, you know, I get angry at times because, but I think to myself, okay, these people are different. They're wired differently. But unfortunately, it also shows that when a child is abused, then our brains, too, get rewired. And that's where it affects our brains, the cortex and other parts of our brains, so the reasoning matter, the memory matter, all kinds of areas. And the doctor would know this. And that has to be worked on. And also, too, where our memories lie. And that's why people have DID. And it creates a whole different scenario of what they could have been, you know, had they not been abused.
And Carol, too. And Carol, you know what I'm anxious to really know about is that I understand that that mm-hmm. she is going to be publishing a book. Is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I can't wait to get this.
I did. Didn't I see that?
I
want
a personally yeah. autographed book from you, okay? And I'll give you my address, and I will pay for it. But I want
Thanks
this because so I love this. I want to see it. I want to read it, and I want it from all costs.
Absolutely.
You know. But anyway, she does. She, Carol, she has a book coming out, and she's going
here
to be.
Here it is.
Cooked.
Yes,
so
it's
can
currently
you want
working
to tell us,
on a book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be published
so you want to
later
tell us
this
a little
year.
Bit about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. So I actually the workbook is already out. I think I mentioned before that I started my own company called Still Whole Wellness back in 2017, where I focused primarily on life coaching, and you guys were mentioning, you know, that shifting of the energy. And so one of the services, one of the primary services I offer is Reiki healing. And Reiki is a beautiful way to be able to transmute, you know, transform some of that energy, right? And remove some of that trauma energy that has been housed in one of the seven chakras within the body.
So you specialize in that?
Yes, so I'm actually a Reiki practitioner, and you know, it's really funny because, again, like I mentioned earlier, I come from church, and so, you know, it's believed in the Christian community that everyone has like a spiritual gift, right? And so I've known from a very, very young age that my spiritual gift was the gift of healing. You know, that I've always known that I have like power in my hands, and even though I didn't really know what it was, and in some instances, to be fully honest, I was like kind of scared of it. So it was once I, you know, started going into therapy and learned about Reiki and how to remove that energy and those blockages and understood how trauma is housed within the body. I started studying Reiki and decided that I wanted to be a practitioner. So that's mm-hmm. one of the services that I offer.
How can people get in touch with you about all of this stuff? I mean, we all want to know what that is. And you offer, you know, a specific area on that, which sounds amazing, you know, to us. It really does. So you want to tell us how you can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Reiki was that missing link for me. So like I mentioned, you know, my therapist, Susan, she was awesome. But I needed to heal energetically. And once I discovered that, then that's kind of when I went down this beautiful kind of rabbit hole in discovering the power of Reiki and how to do that. So that's what I do with my clients. I work through the workbook that I've written. The workbook is available on mm-hmm. Amazon. And
okay.
it's called Working Through Sexual Trauma. And
Working Through Sexual Trauma?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
so I work through that workbook with clients and working through my signature program that I've called the Get Clear Method, which is where I take clients through the process of understanding where that abuse is showing up in their life, where that trauma is kind of raising its ugly head the way that I mentioned in my own life before, and then giving them those practical tools to be able to begin to heal, and then offering that life coaching and the Reiki on top of that. Yeah. So it really is.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that.
It's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Okay, it is wonderful, and you've been a wonderful guest. Mm-hmm. We're going
wonderful,
down to 60-second thing here. So I just want to personally, and of course, John, also, we want to personally
yes.
thank you so much for coming on the
thank
show.
You
were
so
a
much,
wonderful
baby.
Guest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have
thank
such
you.
a gracefulness about you.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she's a
yeah,
very graceful person.
You.
And a very calm person.
Thank you very
I
much.
Like that. Yes. So people will have that information because they'll listen to the show. And thank you so much
yes.
for coming
and
on.
They can,
and listen. Go ahead.
Oh, I was
going to
say
something?
The website is www.stillwholewellness.com. That's STILL. WHOLEWELLNESS www.thebeautyhealingsystem.com. And so you can, there you can see all of the services that I offer, as well as I do healing circle events and things like that.
Okay.
So it's still,
wholewellness.com?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. I got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's right here in the bio.
Yeah,
okay.
I need that
Thank
information.
You.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, we're not being recorded anymore. I've got to go. I have to close the show down.
The show's over.
Yeah. Yeah, we went over a little bit.
Okay.
That's okay. But
sorry,
thank you so much.
Go
you're very interesting.
Go
God bless you. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Love it. Absolutely.
And you come back again.
Hope
you
had a good time tonight. Yep.
I did, and thank you guys so very much for having me. I really appreciate the invitation.
Okay,
you guys really have a beautiful space you've created there, and thank you guys for everything you guys do. Keep doing what
thank
you're doing because
you.
People need this space.
That's right, baby.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank
yep.
you so much.
Anytime.
Yeah. Okay,
we
good night
here.
Now.
We always see
yes.
Peace
yeah,
and blessings
everybody.
To you both.
Love
good
you
night.
Y'all
you.
Very much. I just
good
tell
night.
You I love y'all.
Bye-bye.
I love you too. Okay, bye bye now.
Love you too.
All right.
Bye bye.
Okay, bye bye.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will.